Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And welcome on in to another Sunday morning talking sports and other stuff. And we have a lot to talk about today. We have the Belmonts and the DAP owners going off. We have Super Regional Baseball to talk about. We have hockey to talk about, PAC Day.
There's too much to talk about.
Too much to talk about. World Cup Soccer, apparently our producer wants us to talk about that.
Hey, right now, it's really weird because I have an ear infection. I can't hear a thing out of my right ear, so my left ear is going crazy. We have Marlon Eikenberry on the phone, an old friend of mine, a great, great baseball coach, great recruiter. Ike, how you doing, buddy?
Bruce, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm sitting here looking at the box scores from Maryland, Virginia yesterday. You know, Virginia, which is, what, less than 2 hours from where you are. It might be like an hour, hour and a half, right?
That's right. It's an hour away.
Now, Ike is the head baseball coach at Virginia Military Institute in Lexington, Virginia. He's an old friend of mine. I love Ike. He does a great job. For those of you who don't know anything about VMI, that was Stonewall Jackson's place of higher learning, correct, Ike?
That is correct. He taught here.
And is he buried there?
He's buried in Lexington, yes, about a half a mile away from Post.
And for those of you that are my age and appreciate the Civil War, both sides of it, he was one of the greatest generals and greatest people in the history of this country, very similar to Robert E. Lee. For those people out there on the left that think, you know, that anybody that fought against the Union is bad, turn the station and go somewhere else. That's all I care about. We're going to talk baseball today. Now, Ike, we just had the MLB draft, and, you know, I coach a little summer ball, and one of my first kid that I've ever, you know, closely touched on my team got drafted yesterday, Connor Bach. He was one of your guys, right?
He was. You know, he graduated this year from VMI and was drafted by the Washington Nationals yesterday. And we're really proud of Connor, and more importantly, just really happy for him and his family. I know it's an honor for him, and he worked extremely hard to get to that. And you know, it was something that, you know, kind of evolved late last year. You know, in his junior year, he started playing really well and pitching very well, and some people started showing a lot of interest. And then, you know, this year, in the senior year, you know, being 6'6" left-hander, it sparks a lot of pro scouts' interest. And, you know, he had some bright moments in his career here for us here at VMI, and just really proud for him and his family.
Well, you know what's really funny is the Nationals drafted him. It's not really – that's not ironic. That's actually a trend because Ryan Ripken got drafted again yesterday. Now, the first time that Ryan got drafted 2 years ago in 2012, and he plays in the Cal Ripken Collegiate Baseball League for the Yass Orioles. Ryan, you know, really, it was just a favor from the Oriole organization, in my opinion, to draft Ryan. And generally with the 20th pick, that seems to be where the kids go, or the, you know, the coach's kids, the former, you know what I'm talking about, Ike, the former scouts' kids. 20th round, if you look, there's a lot of family people. Now, Ryan went to South Carolina on a scholarship, and, you know, didn't really like it there. That program wasn't for him. Honestly, probably wasn't good enough to play on that team at the time. Came back, played another year of summer ball, and then he transferred to a small junior college in Florida. I talked to Cal about it last year when he had already signed with them. And he had a great, great year in JUCO, and now he's been drafted again, but not by the Orioles. He was drafted by the Washington Nationals, which I think is very interesting because – when they were looking for a new head coach, there were a lot of people, myself included, that said not only would this be a great idea for the Nationals to hire Cal to be their manager. I mean, who's been in a major league dugout more than Cal Ripken? Nobody. I mean, he was in a dugout when he was 10 years old. And now, you know, and there was a couple other kids that went. Ryan got picked. There was a kid from Flint Hill Prep that got drafted by the Nationals, and that's in Northern Virginia. So I think that what they're trying to do, I think they must have a really good local scout there. I know you see these guys all the time, Ike. Now tell everybody who your other guy was. Didn't you have two other guys drafted yesterday too?
We had a right-handed pitcher who's a junior for us, Reed Garrett. He's from Richmond, Virginia. He was drafted by the Texas Rangers in the 16th round. So that's two juniors in the last 3 years we've gotten drafted, right-handed pitchers from Texas in the last 3 years. So, you know, it was an exciting day yesterday watching the draft tracker and seeing all the guys taken and, you know, seeing that, you know, not only local high school guys taken, but also local college guys. And, you know, it's just fun. It's an exciting day for, you know, all baseball and amateur baseball. So it was really, really neat day just to watch it all kind of unfold.
Now, does this help you out when you're recruiting kids out of high school?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's always a kid's dream, you know, when they're good enough to be recruited by colleges. And then it's always, you know, more importantly, it's been a dream to, you know, get a chance to play at the next level of college baseball. Then you just kind of make a stair step and make it a dream to play at the professional level. And, you know, I'm sitting here watching an AAU game here in VMI on our field. And the first base coach is Billy Wagner of one of the AAU teams, who's a high school coach at the Miller School, who won the state championship this year. And it's kind of neat to kind of just watch how these kids evolve and watch them mature and their bodies mature. And more importantly, you know, what's so great about Connor is he's got a college degree in his back pocket. He can go play for however long he wants to play for. And hopefully he gets up to be pitching there in Washington.
Well, listen, VMI is one of the best institutions of higher learning in the country. And there, the thing I love about University of Virginia, Virginia Tech and VMI in the state of Virginia is there are people on the boards of some Fortune 500 companies from all of those schools. And you know, because if you go through 4 years, tell everybody, you know, it's not the normal place, is it, Ike? It's a military institution for the most part, but go ahead.
It is, Bruce. And, you know, it's the different educational piece in those five military schools, you know, that we consider in the country. You know, obviously you got the service academies and then the Citadel and then VMI. So, you know, these kids, you know, are wearing uniforms, going to class. They learn the military education. You know, our kids, about 50% of our school goes off into the and be commissioned officers, and the other 50% goes off into the civilian world or gets a chance to play pro ball or gets a chance to, you know, go to grad school or just go work for a living. And, you know, one of the things we always tell everybody is our graduates are prepared and our kids are prepared for life after college. And then more importantly, you know, getting back to the sports side of it, you know, it's kind of a, you know, being one of the smallest Division I schools in the country. And, you know, we had a great basketball team this year, and we made a run in the CIT tournament in basketball. We had a successful baseball season, and you know we play all the big boys. We play Kentucky this year. We play Virginia a couple times, and you know we play on the big stage, but it's a small school, and it gives a little bit of a niche to want to get a different type of education. So I tell all when we're recruiting kids all over the country, we tell them you just got to shift gears on your mindset of what college life is like. And you know, it's been a lot of fun to watch our graduates go on and do special things, not only in the military, but in corporate world as well.
Ike, let me ask you a question. We're talking to Marlon Eikenberry, the head baseball coach at Virginia Military Institute, one of the best coaches in the country, in my opinion. Ike, let me ask you a question. It's a big game in the Super Regional down in Charlottesville, not far from you. And as a matter of fact, if I was down there, I'd be there probably today as soon as this show is over, but I can't get there in time. University of Maryland is turning some heads this year. You know, about 4 years ago, I guess Backage came there from Vanderbilt and did a good job of recruiting and has left some good kids there at the University of Maryland. And they're up 1-0 on the best out of three against the University of Virginia, who you could arguably say is one of the top two or three teams in the country. Who's going to win that series, Ike?
I tell you what, you know, I know winning game one is important, you know, for any type of super regional. And I tell you, it's going to be a dogfight. You know, Maryland's had a great run here late. They're playing really good baseball. And, you know, but Virginia's offense is, you know, they're very talented offensively. And so I think it's going to be, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's going to be the game of least mistakes. But, you know, I love Virginia's pitching. I love their defense. You know, they got some great hitters. And Maryland does the same. They got some really hot hitters right now. The second baseman at Maryland's a Virginia kid that we recruited. And, know his family really well. His coach, his dad coaches at Nathan River High School, and he's been fun to watch this year. Brandon Lau, and you know, so it's going to be a neat day in Charlottesville today. You know, as far as watching two of the best teams in the country compete, and then more importantly, it's so unique that you got two ACC teams vying for a bid to Omaha, which is neat as well.
You know, Jake Stinnett started yesterday, and this is a kid that ended up going in the second round of the draft 2 days ago. Jake is a good pitcher. The thing that I was amazed with Maryland is how good their starting pitching is. I had no idea they were that good. Did you know they were going to be this good this year?
Well, I knew they were going to be good. You know, Coach Sheff does a great job, and I knew they were going to be tough. And, you know, I'm watching their scores all year, just kind of following from afar. They played some really good teams and beat some really good teams early, and then just kind of watching them get hot here in the ACC tournament was just a special time, you know. And that's what it's about this time of year. You know, college baseball, it's a fine line between the really good teams and guys that get hot, and that's it's just fun to watch. It's fun to watch all this time of year. The way the coverage is on TV to watch all super regionals.
You know what was great? You brought up the name. You brought Billy Wagner's name, and when Billy Wagner was at Ferrum University, which was a JUCO, I want to say it was a JUCO, but I think it's recently become a Division III school.
It was a Division III school
even back then.
Yes, sir. Actually, and Bruce, you know, the funny thing about that is I actually got to face Billy in a fall game. Back in 1992, when he was at Ferrum, and it was no fun facing him then. And I know he has to have a successful MLB career, and so it's just fun. It's fun watching it, you know, how he's really gotten the kids in Charlottesville, you know, around the Miller School and the baseball program, and you know, it's just been kind of neat to watch how his presence has been exciting for some of those kids in rural counties of Virginia to play over there at the Miller School. And you know, he's really helping out, you know, some kids over there. So it's been fun to watch.
You know, Billy is an interesting story himself. He wasn't a natural left-hander. He broke his right arm twice before he was 14, and he learned how to throw left-handed, and he was throwing 98 to 99 on the slow gun. They thought he was going to be like the first six in the draft. He went number 12 to Houston. And the greatest thing about Billy is he wasn't raised by his parents. His parents had some problems. His uncle raised him. And Billy's one of the greatest guys I've ever met. He's done a lot of stuff for young kids. Didn't he buy a farm up near Crozet somewhere? And
That's where he lives, Bruce. Yep. You know, one of the neat things, you know, the guy he played for, Coach Perry at Tazewell High School.
Oh, yeah.
Just finished coaching. Just retired a couple of years ago, but he built, you know, a great high school baseball facility, helped build a great high school baseball facility in Tazewell, Virginia, where he grew up. And you know, just kind of neat to watch what's going on over there in Charlottesville with the small school he's at right now.
Ike, listen, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Marlon Eikenberry, Virginia Military Institute head baseball coach. And believe me, if you ever send your kid to VMI for an education, he's going to get one of the top educations in the country. I'm proud of you, Ike, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again sometime. We'll talk when this tournament is over, okay?
All right, Bruce. Thanks for everything. Appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. Marlon Eikenberry. Right. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion in a minute.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back. A couple things to note before we get into the next topic in the Super Regionals. Three teams have moved on since we were just talking a little bit of college baseball. Louisville moves on. UC Irvine upsets Oklahoma State.
UC Irvine's got maybe the best team in the country hitting-wise.
And then Texas beats their in-state opponent in Houston, Cougars, who were a very hot offensive team going in. Compiled 10 hits yesterday. Texas pitchers, all four of them, didn't get a single strikeout on the day and still kept the Cougars off the board.
They're all freshmen. Augie has got... You know, their coach has been coaching for 35 years. He's got more wins than anybody in the country. But this year, he had such a young team, and last year they didn't do anything. So there were people going, man, what's wrong with Augie? Well, he ended up recruiting five or six just of the top freshmen in the country. Now, all of them aren't working out, but the veteran kids on that team, the upperclassmen, have really come through it late in the season. And Texas looks like, you know, I mean, they're in the series.
Yeah.
And once they get in, they're always dangerous. Always. Same with Irvine. Irvine's always good.
They beat
Pepperdine, right?
No, they went on the road.
Who beat Pepperdine?
Pepperdine's still in.
Oh, okay.
They went into, I believe Pepperdine's playing TCU.
I think is Pepperdine down 1-0, though?
Pepperdine's down 1-0 to TCU. Yeah,
yeah, that's what it is.
The UC Irvine beat Oklahoma State in Oklahoma State.
Right.
So, that's a big win there.
Yeah, you know, I love college. I just love this time of year. Now, we played a game last night. My team, the Vienna River Dogs, in the Cal Ripken Collegiate Baseball League, which is one of the top leagues in the country for wooden bat summer. And the thing I like about what I've seen is we played three games. We're 1-2, unfortunately. But, you know, we're going to get better. Defensively, we've got some problems. But the greatest thing about this is every one of these kids that I have, especially the Florida kids, they know everybody that got drafted. They either played with them on a travel team when they were 12, 13, 14, 15, or they played with them in junior college, or they played with them at the college they're at. And it's amazing to hear these kids talk. Every one of them should be an expert at this. I think these kids know more about the draft and who the better players are than a lot of the scouts that actually watch them. Not to say the scouts don't do a good job, because they do, and it's a hard job. I mean, it's, you know, they've got cross-checkers. They've got local guys. You know, I do the best I can to get some really good kids that have tools, recognition. And believe me, if a kid isn't a good kid, I don't even put his name on a piece of paper with mine attached to it. You know, there's a couple of kids that I'm really hoping sign as free agents that are juniors right now. A kid named Luke Willis that's out of Northern Virginia. Tough kid. He ended up at George Mason University. He was the MVP of the Big Ten, listen to me, the Atlantic 10 baseball tournament, and Mason was in the regionals, and they got beat, but didn't make it to super regionals. But Luke is going to play ball somewhere. I mean, he's that good. The kid's like a 6'5 guy. But there's a lot of guys like that. There's guys like that all over the board. There's also guys that get in to the, you know, that get drafted, that people look at each other and scratch their heads and go, how did that kid get drafted? Well, there's politics in scouting too. There's also guys that were maybe good 2 years ago that had arm problems, that have had Tommy John, that they just are rolling the dice on, that they think that maybe they'll return and be better than they were to begin with. Do you know what I mean, Roy? Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's not an exact science, because we're dealing with what? Human beings. You know, some human beings are going to get better, some are going to stay the same, and some are going to get worse. They're very much like umpires. Yeah, that's right. I'm talking about umpires, you daggone guys in blue. And I love you guys no matter how bad you are. Seriously. I do. I'm Bruce Hall, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Let's talk about this horse race.
Sure.
There was a lot of, you know, I really like that guy.
I like him too.
The owner of the horse.
Yeah, he's a 30% owner of California Chrome.
Do the lead up and tell him what happened yesterday.
Sure. Yeah,
because I missed the daggone race.
Did we do it? Yeah, I don't know how you did that.
Because I was taking batting practice at exactly the same time.
You need to change your batting practice schedule around.
Nah, you can't do that when you got a 7 o'clock game, Roy.
Anyways, he is a 30% owner in California Chrome. So he is the one of the two partners. There's Perry and Corbin, and they are the two guys who make up DAP or DAP, or as they call them, dumbass partners. That's
yeah,
what
dumbass
for.
Partners. I love
so,
that.
So he's actually the one who named California Chrome. They drew names out of a hat. His was the one that got picked. Anyways, so these guys are not billionaires. They're not millionaires. They are. This guy is a cattle. He's a cattle farmer. The other guy works in a warehouse. So these two are.
They're called ranchers, cattle farmers.
They're regular ass guys. Is basically what I'm getting into. And they,
I thought they were dumbass guys.
They are dumbass guys. They're dumbass partners. So they are into the horse racing world and California Chrome.
Tell them how they got the name dumbass partners. They got the name because of.
And people said
they spent $10,000 on a stud.
They spent $10,000,
and they said you're a dumbass to do that.
They spent $2,000 on a stud, and
on
they,
the brood
and
mare.
They spent $8,500 on a mare, and they ended up getting this horse that they ended up calling California Chrome. So they entered him. He was 6-0 heading into the Derby, and so he fell to the I forget the name of the guy who even won the Belmont. I don't even know his name because I was so upset about this.
Doesn't
but,
matter.
But so they go up him as a post.
Everybody's going to forget him.
They go to him as a post game interview and they ask him what he thought about his horse winning the first two and not getting the Triple Crown. This is what he said.
Incredible run for Steve Colburn and Perry Martin and all those with California Chrome. Throughout it all, Steve, it's been an amazing ride. What were your thoughts as they turned for home?
Well, I thought he was gaining ground, but he didn't have it in him, apparently. You know what? He's been in three. This is his third very big race. These other horses, they always set them out. They set them out and try to upset the apple cart. I'll never see. I'm 61 years old, and I'll never see in my lifetime, I'll never see another Triple Crown winner because of the way they do this. It's not fair to these horses that have been in the game since day one. I look at it this way. If you can't make enough points to get into the Kentucky Derby, you can't run in the other two races.
So if you had your way, you would say you got to run the Triple Crown or you cannot come up in the Belmont and be a fresh horse.
That's right. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. Because this is not fair to these horses that have been running their guts out for these people and for the people that believe in them. For have somebody to come up like, this is a coward's way out, in my opinion. This is a coward's way out.
So you think they came right after your horse and that was the plan, just like they have other potential Triple Crowns?
Exactly. Our horse had a target on his back. Everybody else lays out one, or they won't run in the Kentucky Derby or the Preakness. They'll wait until the Belmont. You know what? If you've got a horse, run him in all three. If you've got a horse that can, that Carolyn, if you've got a horse...
That's my favorite part.
That earns points to run in the Kentucky Derby. Those 20 horses that start in Kentucky are the only 20 eligible to run in all three races. This is the coward's way out.
So a lot of people thought that he was a sore loser for this.
Well,
they're
saying
needs to just shut up.
Let's
this isn't
just
a time to talk about
Right. Let's just say this. He had two speeches planned. One was if he wins, and one was if he didn't.
Right.
And that was the one speech when he
didn't. If you're looking at the video, you're saying that was not planned, though.
Now, I don't think the guy had a single speech planned. I mean, this guy, he is a cattle farmer from...
No, there's no such thing as a cattle farmer. They're cattle ranchers.
Okay, he's a cattle farmer from California, and he's never really been...
He's not going to get anybody in the cow business ever listen to him.
I don't really care if there's anybody in the cow business listening
to him. Well, it's just like soccer, right?
So, listen, the guy's completely right.
I agree.
He is completely right about the way that...
Well, you can disagree all you want, man. You're a soccer fan.
The way that horse racing is set up these days is completely asinine to the way that sports are run in modern day. So we look at the way that horse racing used to be, and maybe all the naysayers are saying, okay, well, he just needs to keep his mouth shut. This is the way that the things have always been done. Yes, this is the way that things were always done way back in hundreds of years ago.
But when everybody did race in three races for the most part, they did.
Well, I mean, nobody ever really ran in all three races. It was you traveled to the host site, wherever it was at. If you went to Pimlico in Baltimore, you know, you ran the Preakness, or if you went to Belmont Park, you ran the Belmont, or you went to the Derby. It was, you had the home horses there, and that's who you were. Basically, you were the challenger in those home parks. It's not like that anymore.
All right, let me stop this rant real quick. Let me just say something real quick. Back when Seattle Slew won, and back when Alidar won, the same horse in one of those two Triple Crowns. Mm-hmm. Was number two three
right,
times.
Right, there's always
I'm
a
just
couple
saying there are some horse. I'm no,
there
but
are
I mean,
some,
but there
yes.
were more, is what I'm saying. Lately, what they've done is guys like Baffert bring four horses.
Right.
I mean, you know, and they only race in one or two races. Baffert may have raced, if he had horses in this race, he raced probably a dozen horses in three races.
In the Preakness, only three horses ran in the Derby when they ran in the Preakness. Only three of them, and that was Curlin, Chrome, and that was Wicked Strong.
And Curlin didn't run this week.
Curlin did run.
He did. Who didn't? Did the other one run?
Yeah, Chrome ran too.
So those are the three
horses. Those were the three. It was Ride on Curlin. Samrat ran in all three, but he's from New York. Then they had Wicked Strong and California Chrome and Metal Count.
Did Wicked Strong place or show? He didn't, did he?
No.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people were on him for this race. Mm-hmm. Roy, let me ask you a question.
Thomas is the one who
remember won. What you and I talked about before the show started? Mm-hmm. What would you do?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you just do a point system and give the champion the guy with the most points?
The thing to me is what he said, it may have been said at the wrong time, maybe, if you're just looking at it as an outsider in the horse world, but you have to think that this guy, he's not a millionaire, he's not a billionaire, he may never even be back to this stage, okay? He has to go out now and buy a new horse, which if you think Lightning's going to strike twice with a $10,000 horse, you're crazy. So he gets his winnings, which is about $1 million a race from the first two races, okay? So he gets $1 million from the Derby, he'll get $1 million from the Preakness, and then he'll get stud fees because I'm sure somebody will want California Chrome studs.
You don't think he's not going to make a buttload of money off of California
Chrome? No, he's going to make a little bit, but not as much as you think, because they've already been talking about what the fee's going to be. It's not much.
He'll make, maybe, let's put it reasonable, and let's say he makes $10 million off of stud fees, okay? Let's say $15 million of stud fees. That's one horse. Okay, you can buy a racehorse for $2, $5, $10 million for the really strong, really, the ones that are real contenders.
And you're talking about a colt.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about if you think you're going to strike again, and then you got to wait 3 years to even run them in the Triple Crown.
Hey, don't you think this would be a really good issue for people to call in and voice your opinion? Tell us what they should do. Should they leave it the way it is, or should they change the daggone rules?
Yeah,
I think they should change the rules. Matt doesn't think so.
I don't understand. You don't think there'll be an asterisk against any horse that wins the Triple Crown if they change the rules?
No.
Oh, no, absolutely not. No, because they need to change. Look at every sport there is. Look at the difference between NFL football now and 30 years ago. Look at the difference between baseball. We have instant replay cameras. We don't even have beefs with the umpire anymore. Because if you think the umpire made a bad call, you walk out and they look at it on film.
You can keep the Triple Crown. Okay, we have the President's Cup in hockey, whereas the best team in the league gets the President's Cup. Okay, in the NFL, nobody's gone undefeated and won a Super Bowl since the 72 Dolphins. Everyone still talks about that.
Yeah, they don't let us forget that.
But we still have a champion. So you can still crown a horse racing champion for that year. Maybe pop up a couple more races, maybe one before the Derby, one after the Belmont. You have Charleston. There's places out in California who race year-round. So you can add, maybe two more, so you have five, and put a point system there, and you keep the Triple Crown intact.
Okay, yeah, as long as it's a championship, and the Triple Crown is something
that is its own trophy.
Okay, it's like the President's trophy. Strikes maybe once every 30, 40, 50 years.
But if you think that... If you think the horse racing is going to continue to survive the way that it has, preying on a Triple Crown winner when it hasn't happened in 37 years now.
But they had three Triple Crown winners within a 10-year period. I mean,
37 years ago.
Yeah, I know, and things have changed since then.
A lot.
I that's what I'm saying. I agree. They should change the rules.
And we agreed on putting something together like NASCAR has.
Yeah, get a sponsor. Mm-hmm. Get Red Bull to sponsor the horse and do great at horse Red Bull ads. How cool would that be?
As long as you don't mess with the. No. The allure of what the Triple Crown is, because everybody will forget about it.
Bottom line is you got to win all three races to win the Triple Crown. Yeah. They're just going to make it so that there is a winner of the Horse of the Year.
Yeah, you could have a preseason that you could that is how you get into the Derby, because there is already a point system to get into the Derby, and they rank it 100, 40, 20, and 10 scale, and you have to race in at least six races to get into the Derby. Okay, so there already is that pre-qualifier, but it's only for the Derby. If you add it for the other two races, then we're talking about a real champion, and then we're not sitting here at the end of the year of horse racing and we're saying, well, did anything really happen?
Wouldn't that actually make it harder to get a Triple Crown winner, though?
It could.
Yeah, it could, and
we'll never see one. But it doesn't matter.
I'm not trying to find a Triple Crown winner.
You know what? He says we're never going to see one, but just remember one thing.
Even though
this horse was a great horse and he ran really well, he was one cheap horse, too.
Yeah, he was.
If he'd have been a little more expensive horse, maybe he would have won it. Maybe. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230. WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So if you agree with us, please call in 240-317-7294. If you don't agree with us, call in anyways and tell us why we're wrong about horse racing. If you even watch horse racing, I don't know if horse racing is big enough for people to really care.
It was the Belmont. It was close to them.
Yeah.
In our listening area. And I got to tell you something, it doesn't get any better than Triple Crown. And I saw the way some of those ladies were decked out in New York yesterday. Mm-hmm. They look good, man. I mean, they were right there with those girls from, you know, from down in Louisville or wherever the hell they are.
Yeah. Kentucky. Yeah, you're up there.
Yeah.
You're good.
Hey, listen, let's talk about something else. Hold on. Let me take a sip of Red Bull. Hold on.
So Red Bull, we're gonna have to write them a letter to get them to sponsor our new.
I had to take some Red Bull because we're getting ready to talk about soccer.
Our new series.
Hey, listen, if you like soccer, call in because we need an expert right now. We had a guy who was supposed to call in, or we're trying to get call in. He's an expert, and he was going to tell us why this is such a great, great situation,
or a not so good situation with USA being in the death bracket. So I hear. I don't know anything about soccer. So if you guys want to call in and yell at me because I don't really know. I watched the World Cup all 4 years, okay? I'm an American. That is just like all, I'm just like all the other Americans. We grill out. We throw on our flag T-shirts. Okay, we drink Miller Lite and we watch the World Cup all 4 years. We don't know who the heck is on the field. But, I know Howard, the goalie, right? Is his name?
Tim Howard.
Yes. He played in a 100th game.
Tim Howard.
In a friendly against Nigeria yesterday. Yeah. So congratulations to him. That's about, look, I'm a casual soccer fan.
Clint Dempsey and Josie Altidore.
I know the name of Dempsey.
Those are the only two you need to know this
I year. Know the name Dempsey. The other guy you named, he means nothing to me.
I know Rick Dempsey. He was a catcher, the MVP of the 1983 World Series between the Baltimore Orioles and the Philadelphia Phillies. But anyway, bottom line, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to soccer, is what they were talking about all week was – they're giving up some older, probably more talented guys for some younger, less experienced guys. And what their strategy is, Klinsmann, the head coach, is and I mean the entire World Cup USA group, is they want these kids getting some experience. And I agree. They're not going to win it this year. Everybody, you know, Matt's telling us they're not even going to get out of their group.
The coach came out and said that they weren't going to win it this year.
Well, if he came out and said it, that's probably a ringing endorsement that they're going to be two and out. Maybe three and out.
I don't know if that's some sort of, you know, if that's a motivational key there or I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing.
You're the expert.
I'll tell you what Americans don't like. Americans don't like their head coach saying they're not going to win something.
Yeah.
That's a rule number one. And
how did
can
that,
you imagine
how,
a Super Bowl a, coach saying
can
same
can I
thing?
Ask you a question?
He's not American,
Matt,
right?
Matt, how did that go over this week when he said that?
It's realistic, though.
Yeah, but he's not an American. The guy who's
well,
our head
you know
coach
what? I'm
going to
go out on a limb and say the Redskins aren't going to win the Super Bowl right now, but I don't think you're going to hear Gruden say that.
The difference here is you're a Redskins fan. Okay, you grew up, you were born a Redskins fan, and Gruden, he might not be a Redskins fan, but he was born into the NFL. Okay, this is American soccer, and we have a European coach coming over, coaching the American team, saying, these guys aren't good enough.
It's also, you wouldn't want Gruden to say that if they were in the wild card, because this is basically the playoffs.
Okay, we're in the playoffs. They've already qualified. You know what?
They've already qualified.
Matt, that's a great point. Yeah, they've already qualified. Yeah. Everybody qualifies.
They have a shot.
But, no, not everybody qualified.
Oh, that's right. They had qualified. Teams. So we barely got in. Is that
no? We were top of the qualifying.
Then how did we go from that to the bottom?
We're in the bracket of death.
We're not in the bottom.
Well, we're not in the bottom.
Even though he's basically
the 14th ranked team in the world.
I mean, even though he's guaranteed, we're probably not going to win it.
We're a good soccer team.
He didn't guarantee.
I don't know if we're okay. This guy say. I don't know if he's
we're
trying
okay.
to motivate his team.
We're okay.
We're 14th.
We're about half.
We're the 14th best team in the world.
Hey, do me a favor. Is he
we're number 14.
Is
woo! We're number
not
14.
Not you know what? Hey, hold on a second. I'm asking questions these people want to know that aren't big soccer fans. Is the guys we left out, are they better than any of the guys on the team?
You could make an argument.
There's an argument.
So you could flip a coin almost.
I wouldn't say flip a coin.
So Donovan is better than some of the guys.
I think Donovan's better than a lot of the guys.
There's a difference between the heart and the skill. Donovan has skill, but he took a break. It's like, remember when Ricky Williams, the running back from Miami, decided, I'm going to take a break. He was at the top of his game.
Yeah, well, he wanted to smoke dope every day. He just wanted to smoke weed all the time. Yeah,
you know you're not going to take that guy to the Super Bowl. They tried to bring him back, and Miami went like 4-12.
Yeah, but then he ended up somewhere else, and he did a pretty good job
in the CFL. Which is
No, he ended up back in the NFL.
Oh, with
you're trying to talk NFL, Matt. Don't talk NFL.
He was with Miami, and then he went to the Ravens.
Yeah,
he was in.
He was with the Ravens. He was with the Ravens when they went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. That's when he was with the Ravens.
Did he ever actually see the field during that?
He got a ring.
He was a third. No, he got. No, he wasn't on that team.
He didn't see the.
He was the year before when they lost to the I think it was the Patriots in the AFC Championship.
Maybe.
He was on that team.
But my point is, let's not talk about Ricky Williams. God, he's a bummer.
I know the point you're trying to make. Yeah. There are guys who might have all the skill and might have all the hype and surrounding them, like a Donovan or in your case the Ricky Williams that you're saying,
Matt,
that don't have their head and heart into the game like some of these younger up
and
coming guys.
And that's what they're looking for. To win the World Cup, you have to have seven of the games of your life. Right. It's seven Super Bowls.
God,
basically.
Seven of the games. Well, how do they do that? Italy did that 1 year. It was unbelievable.
You have someone who has
Italy's won it two or three times, right?
I don't know the numbers.
Spain is always a top team. You know, Argentina is good. Brazil's the host city.
Brazil is tough, and they're going to be tough at home.
I mean, our division, our
they've had it there
group
before.
Group G is the official name, the unofficial name, the group of death: Germany, Portugal, Ghana, and then the U.S. I mean, those are four very good soccer.
And we're all
countries,
three and a half good.
We're all in the same. We're all in the same.
Ghana's still good. Ghana's no, they're not. They're ranked like.
They're like 30th or something.
Well, why don't we do this? Let's not talk about soccer anymore until we possibly get a call from this guy, because we may be repeating ourselves. Mm-hmm. Let's talk right now about the New York Rangers. Mm-hmm. I'm watching this game. Now, let me tell you something. A lot of people, even New York Ranger fans, close friends of mine that are Ranger fans, and believe me, there are a lot of New York Ranger fans, especially when they're in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They've made it to the finals. You know, they start on the road. And they've lost two overtime games. This was a double overtime game last night. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stay. I mean, I was asleep. I watched the first overtime almost to the end of it. And then I woke up in the morning and I didn't even want to know who won because I wanted the Rangers to win so bad. They didn't. I saw the winning shot. Now they return back to the Garden, right?
Yeah.
And they're down two games to zero. Do they have a chance? Or
absolutely.
Well, you know what? This is a good King team. This King team can play defense.
Absolutely can.
But they seem to have more punch on the offense. I mean, as far as I'm concerned.
LA is probably the faster team, and they probably have more offense, yeah. And Quick, the keeper for the Kings, he has been standing on his head. I mean, the way that the Rangers are going to win this series is they need to slow down the pace of the game. They are not going to beat LA at their own game. They need to play defensive hockey, and they have the scores to do it. They have St. Louis. He can score, and he can dish the puck out. So they have the players to do it, but they need to slow it down, and Lundqvist needs to be back to King Lundqvist. I mean, you can't let up, what was it, five goals? You can't let up five goals and expect to win.
Well, there were a lot of goals scored, and a lot of people never thought it was going
to
be like that.
Like
hey, let's open up the phones to calls at the end of this break. 240-317-7294. That's 240-317-7294. Let's talk some Rangers hockey. Meanwhile, when we get back, we're going to be going over baseball picks for today. And this is something very important for everybody to listen to, especially if you're selling property for the first time in generations. The dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back with Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294. Or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So we have the NHL playoffs. It's basically Lundqvist versus Quick right now, and neither of them are really showing up. I mean, in game one, I thought both of them played great. I thought Quick may have gotten a little lucky on a couple things, but in game two, Lundqvist, I don't know if it was a home ice advantage for the LA, but to me, the fourth goal that LA scored was goalie interference.
That was goalie interference.
To me, that is a no-brainer goalie interference.
They were in the box. They were all over it.
For those of you who don't know, the rule on goalie interference is if you embed the goalie from making a play on the puck, and if you watch that play over it, what did I say?
Embed.
Embed's like a website.
Hey, that's where I go to sleep. Embed.
Impede. Whatever. If you stop the goalie from making a play,
I want to go to
puck,
bed right now, please.
In bed. That's a good one, though.
That's where a lot of good things happen, in bed.
So if you stop the goalie from making a play on the puck, okay, and the L.A. defense, the L.A. Forward, he's in the crease, and Lundqvist tries to make a slide over to the puck and runs clearly into his leg. I mean, to me, it was blatantly obvious.
I agree with you.
And then the next time down the ice, Rangers have the puck, and they have a scoring opportunity, and Quick comes up with a shoelace save. I mean, that 2-3 minutes, whatever it was in the course of the game, that would kind of has told the story of the last two games in L.A.
Hey, listen, I want to congratulate somebody for you Yankee fans out there. The son of Mariano Rivera III, who pitches for Iona College and, you know, throws regularly in 91-93 range, 29th round draft choice of the New York Yankees. So you guys may end up with another Mariano one day.
Yeah.
I guarantee he knows how to throw that daggone cutter, because I'm sure I bet he doesn't throw a straight ball. He throws changeups, cutters, and I bet he doesn't throw a curveball.
I feel bad for him.
No, you can't feel bad.
I feel bad.
Yeah, but you can't feel bad for a kid whose father is a Major League Baseball player.
That's exactly why I feel bad for him.
No, well, see, you're crazy, because he gets a shot when another kid wouldn't.
No, that's
so don't
true.
Feel sorry for him.
Right, no, I agree.
Feel happy for
right,
him.
No, I get that.
I bet you he wouldn't trade being Mariano Rivera's son in for anything, and even if he doesn't make it, he's still going to be loved by everybody.
Did you know that there's a Michael Jordan Jr.?
Yeah, there's about 50 Michael
Jordan
Juniors, probably.
Did you know they all played basketball?
Can I tell you
what? One of them left the school. You know why? Well, because people were following him around with cameras simply because his name was Michael Jordan.
Well, can I say this about Michael Jordan Jr.? First of all, that's basketball. What's the hardest thing in the world to play NBA basketball? That is the hardest thing to make it in.
Look,
unless it's heavyweight champion of the world with boxing or something. My point is that, mm-hmm. you know, Mariano Rivera III is legitimate. He got drafted on his own powers. He got drafted because of what he did. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great. Because a 29th round is it's a decent round. I mean, there used to be 60 rounds in the draft. Then there were 50. Now there's 40. What does that tell you? Baseball's spending more money, but they're giving it to less people. They're also making more money in the minor league level, but there's going to be fewer teams one day. And also, they're getting people from Venezuela, Dominican Republic, mm-hmm. Puerto Rico, Mexico. They're getting kids when they're 15, 16, 14 years old and getting them signed cheap, yeah. sending them to these places in the States. Some of them not even in the States. Some of them.
What I'm saying, though, is what if this guy is a very good closer? Okay.
Oh, he's going to be good. Oh, he may not even be a closer. He may be a starter.
Well, what if he's a closer and he's a good closer?
Okay? He's fine.
Let's say he has a 7-year long career.
I don't.
And he bounces around a couple.
Then he'll
teams.
Be better. He'll be better than 99.99% of the kids that have ever played baseball.
But will he be better than his dad?
No, nobody's going to be better than Mariano.
That's why I feel sorry.
Feel sorry for him. Because he wouldn't even be who he is if it wasn't for his dad. Hello.
The expectations.
Does anybody agree with me out there? I'm talking to a kid. You wouldn't be who you are if it wasn't for your dad.
That's right.
Do you feel like you screwed up because you're not as good as your dad?
My dad is not.
Your dad was closing people at your age every time he talked to him. Your dad was making so much money at your age.
I'm not a salesman. If I was a salesman.
Oh, stop it.
If I was a salesman.
Of course you're a salesman. You're in radio.
If I was a salesman working for the same company my dad worked for, I would feel like that since we worked for the same company and he was good at what he did,
this.
I would have an extra added pressure on it because of my name.
Well, see,
absolutely.
I feel sorry for you.
That's how I feel.
I don't feel sorry for Christopher because he's a good salesman.
If his name
Christopher is going to make buku money.
His name is Rivera.
Right.
In the Yankees organization that just saw his dad walk around and do
I think it's a tremendous advantage being a Rivera.
I don't know. I think it's an added extra pressure.
Well, I tell you what, if you want to call in and get one of mm-hmm. our crazy rear ends on the phone,
that's like,
give us a call, 240-317-7294.
That's like Ripken. Okay.
Now there's a guy that's got you talk about. Now that is a little bit of pressure.
That's
but
I mean.
Having said that, I know Ryan and I know Cal, yeah. and I'm going to tell you right now that kid is going to make it no matter what. He may not make it as a player. Mm-hmm. He's not going to get 3,000 hits. He's not going to play 8 billion games in a row.
Yeah.
But what he will do, he loves the game, and he'll be in baseball his whole life because of his father.
Well,
he'll be helping run the charity, yeah. his dad's charity. not Cal's charity, Cal Senior's charity.
Right.
He'll be helping. Shoot, he could be an announcer. Brian is a smart kid.
At the end of the day, though, who out there that are casual baseball fans, or maybe, you know, not so much of baseball fans, they all know Ripken got drafted.
It's a good thing he just didn't name him Cal Ripken the fourth.
Because his name...
Well, actually, he would have been the third.
His last name is Ripken.
Yeah.
So everyone says, Cal Ripken's son just got drafted.
Yeah, but so is his sister. Okay, now, is there pressure on his sister?
Did she get drafted in the MLB?
No, but I think she played sports.
If she got
She's
drafted
a big girl.
In the MLB,
She's a big girl.
If she got drafted in the MLB, absolutely there's pressure on her. Absolutely. And
if she was
Ripken
an umpire,
got drafted
be more
by the Orioles and then had to go back into the draft.
They all do that. He could have signed with the Orioles. He decided to go to South Carolina for a year where he had a scholarship. He didn't think that he would start the next year. He transferred to a junior college, which is what all the kids do. Look, the one thing you have, now listen to me. Now you got to be quiet for a second.
I'm listening.
The one thing that you have to do when you're a college player is you have to play. You can't go anywhere where you're going to sit. So when he knew he wasn't going to sit, he's not the only one that transfers out.
I'm not saying
every
that.
Kid calls me and wants to know where they can go.
But don't you think that there is a little bit more of a media storm or just
absolutely
a ramble about?
Well, it's not that much because I'll show you where it is. If you can find it in here, you could look at this paper. It's the Baltimore Sun Sports page today. And you'd have to look for a good 15, 20 minutes.
Is it in there, though?
Yeah, barely.
It is in there.
Yeah, but it's not front page.
It shouldn't be in there.
But it's not front. Of course it should be. Be in here because every Maryland guy that got drafted is in there.
Okay,
read it.
So the Maryland guys got drafted, but
you
got to
start reading the Baltimore Sun.
I'm sure that he has his own column somewhere. It might not be the Baltimore Sun, but out there, Ripken. He has eyes on him. No, Ryan. He has eyes on him. When he transfers out from a school, that's news. When Mariano Rivera's son gets, if he makes a start in the minors, that's going to be headline news. Whereas if any other schmo got a start, it's not going to be headline news.
All right, do you know what position Ryan plays?
First base.
Yeah, and do you know if he's good or not?
He's good enough to get drafted by two different teams.
Yeah, well, he was good enough to get drafted by one team. In my opinion, this is a legitimate draft. The one before was an Oriole draft, and that was a family draft. That was political.
And he played where? He played for the Ironbirds.
He plays for the Yauces Orioles. He plays for Yauces Orioles for the last 2 years, and it's not more fun than when they come to our field at Madison High School for a doubleheader, which they do every year, and Cal sits there.
He was in the minors for the Orioles.
Who was?
Ryan.
Cal, you mean. No, Ryan, no, he's never been in the minors. He went to junior college this year in Florida. Okay. He went to South Carolina for a year and redshirted a year. Okay. He got drafted. See, in junior college, you can sign after 1 year or 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most kids they can't transfer out after 1 year unless they get a release from their junior college coach. But they can sign with a professional team when the season's over for the draft. And that's what Ryan did. And I'm keeping my fingers crossed for him because I think if Ryan gets any bigger and stronger, he's going to be hitting bombs. He hit a few bombs this year, evidently. Last year, we used to have to put a shift on against him because you know what he did? He had a very unusual batting stance.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of old school, a little bit like Cal, and he ripped balls up the middle. So I put my shortstop literally right behind second base, mm-hmm. about 10 feet, and he hit the ball there a lot. My third baseman played with a shortstop.
My point is if his name was John Smith, and this Mariano Rivera guy, if his name was, you know, I don't know, Pablo Sandoval.
They might not get.
Probably playing this they might not get a bad example.
Hey, they might not get the treatment.
You know what I mean.
They might not get the treatment they're getting.
Exactly.
You're right. No, you're right. But that's why I don't feel sorry for him. Because you got to get a break. You got to get a break. Look, in baseball, I know guys that had 2,000 AAA hits. Mm-hmm. Kelly Heath, one of the best players I ever saw, was a scout with the A's. He's in Moneyball. In the chapter where they were all sitting around talking about the guy that had corduroy pants on that could start a fire. His body was so ugly. Kelly Heath was the best player I ever saw. Won at bat in the major leagues. It's all about politics. It's all about breaks. It's all about who signs you. It's all about who the GM likes. It's all about who the A-ball, AA, AAA manager likes. It's all politics. It's a people business. There's human beings involved. And Ryan Ripken... is a good human being, and he's going to make it.
I'm sure
no,
he is.
And he's a great kid, and he's going to make it.
But is that a little? Is that more added pressure? Does not?
No.
Does he not?
Not if you see him play.
Does he get a fair shake? Does Ripken and Mariano are they going to get a fair shake at this?
Yes.
Or they, or is everyone? I'm talking about the fans, not the coaches. The coaches might look at him and say,
"I don't." You know what?
Okay,
at the minor league,
okay, there's
Can I tell you what? It doesn't matter. You know why? At the minor league level, none of that matters. It only matters at the major league level. At the minor league level,
you
what
don't think people are going to be coming out to see Mariano Rivera Jr.?
Yeah, and I think he'll do fine. I mean, look at his ERA. His ERA was one and change. He struck out like more than one batter per inning. He's good.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to give you a guy that's just like that. You ready?
Yeah.
Brett Bochy. Bruce might be on, by
that's
the way, at 11:30. Brett, I want you to pull up FresnoGrizzlies.com right now.
I know. Who
and I want you to look and look at his ERA and look at his whip. He's the, got the number one ERA and the number one whip on the Grizzlies right now.
Okay.
And he's not in the majors yet. He's not getting beneficial treatment. But if he played for any other team except maybe Washington or another really good pitching team like St. Louis, uh-huh, he'd be in the major leagues already. Because the San Francisco Giants bullpen's the best in baseball.
Yeah.
They're 20 games over 500. It was a, it was really not a good thing for Brett to get drafted in the 20th round 3 years ago by his dad's team, because he'd be in the majors already. Does Brett care? No. Because he knows his time's going to come.
My point is that people know that Brett Bochy is in the minors.
Absolutely.
Because of his name. And people know that Ryan Ripken's in the minors, and they know that Mariano Rivera Jr. is there. People who don't even really follow baseball, like hard people who aren't even hardcore baseball fans.
I don't know that everybody knows that Brett's in the minors.
I know that my wife knows that Ripken's son got drafted
yesterday. Oh, yeah, but that's Cal Ripken. Cal Ripken is God in baseball. He is. He's a guy. He's a god.
And do you think that?
And I don't mean that real god. And think, Matt, close your ears because I know you're an atheist.
Do you think that San Francisco?
I'm knocking on wood because I don't want God mad at me.
People who live out in California, do you think that they know
that's
that?
That's Billy Ripken. I know. I know. I've got that card. Billy Ripken, by the way, is the best. I'm going to say this, and I'm not kissing butt. Billy Ripken is the best analyst on MLB Network. And by the way, did you see who got fired from MLB Network? The left-hander from the Phillies.
Uh-huh.
Because at his son's Little League games,
oh, yeah, I heard about that.
He got in trouble, and they fired him from MLB Network.
Well,
good for you, MLB Network.
He started a rant, was yelling at umpires.
He's an idiot.
Pretty sure he got tossed.
He is an idiot.
And his kid
was
like 8 years old or something like that.
Have
like,
you ever listened to him? He's stupid. He's just not smart.
Most people on those networks are pretty dumb.
No, they're not. Harold Reynolds is very smart.
I said most. I didn't say all.
I want you to tell me the ones that you think are. We'll be back in a minute with more from Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
You know, it was about 2 weeks ago, maybe it was a week ago, we were talking about how bad the NL East is.
Yeah, they're still the least,
and,
in my opinion.
Well, they've
improved
they
a
listen,
little bit.
Apparently they listen to the show because the top three teams have gone off on runs. And now the Marlins are the wild card team, and the Nationals are a game out or a half game out. So
no, I agree. But add up the wins and losses, and you'll see the West. Both Western divisions of both leagues are the best by far. It's not even close. And the Centrals are not so hot. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem: the Phillies. We all saw it coming. Mm-hmm. They're too old.
They're poo-poo on a stick.
Yeah, and they also, you know, their starting pitching is a little spotty when you get past Hamels. Kendrick pitched against the Nats the other day, and we ended up beating them. We swept them. The Nats swept them. The Mets, you know, are finding ways to lose. Evidently, David Wright got sat down. Now, he played yesterday, but he's getting sat down today. He didn't want to sit down, and he's going to sit down. It'll be interesting to see if he sits or not today, because he's really upset. He wants to play because he want, you know, they want to win. They blew a 4-3 or 5-4 lead. No, it was 4-3 lead yesterday in San Francisco. And guess who? Michael Morris hit a walk-off over the right fielder's head. The Giants, and I'm knocking on wood, Boach, they're 20 games over 500. You know, I didn't – you remember when I didn't want to say they were going to win it this year?
You've been like this all year. You have not wanted to talk about them.
Well,
you don't want to bet on them.
I never bet on them. I don't bet. You know,
I tell other people
who to bet on. Absolutely. And here's the deal. So many things can go wrong. But here's the cool thing about the Giants. Now, we're talking National League West now, people. So bear with me. We're going to talk National League East and American League East soon. National League West, you know, Colorado looked good early. Arizona's looked like crap. They've looked a little better as of late. The Dodgers, I told you, chemistry. They can spend $1 billion a year for all I care.
They're a half game out of the wild card.
Yeah, but my point is that everybody expected them to be where the Giants are and the Giants to be where they are. And the Giants are doing it with Brandon Belt, arguably their deepest threat early in the season. He's got 9 home runs, and he hasn't played in a month. And Matt Cain had a third grade strain of his hamstring. He finally got on the mound after 3 weeks yesterday or the day before and threw 3 hits in 7 innings. He looked great. But they've not even been a part of the team. They've been doing it with Michael Morse at first base. They've been doing it with a guy that they got out of nowhere at second base. Pablo is I still am standing by Pablo Sandoval is going to win a batting title. Remember when he was hitting 130?
Yeah.
He's hitting 251, 252 now. Pablo making plays at third base. You know, Pagan is back in center field. Occasionally his knees, he got his knee banged about a week ago, but he's okay now. Hunter Pence is getting hot. Hunter Pence is pretty much the heart and soul of those guys. And they've got the best pitching staff, bullpen staff in the league. So the Giants, you would have to rate him number one right now. You know who you'd rate number two in the entire league? Another Bay Area team, the Oakland A's. The Oakland A's are doing it. Billy Bean, Moneyball, cheap. I'm guessing that their budget's like $70 million, maybe $65 million, probably half of what the Giants is, and they're going to win the American League. I said that a long time ago. I'm sticking by it. And they lost 3 starting pitchers to Tommy John or some other injury at the start of the season. So they're going to be good. Let's do this. We got somebody calling in at 11:15 to talk about. Tell them who it is, Matt.
I wasn't ready. We have Tony Lamarzi. He's an MLS announcer. And
Matt never knows what I'm going to call him.
Yes, man. For Philadelphia Union and DC United. I actually worked with him when I was at another radio station.
I'm a Red Bull fan, personally.
Really?
Yeah.
The drink.
I love. No. The soccer team.
There's a new soccer team in New York.
Yes.
All right. Am I right about that? New York Football Club or something like that?
NYFC. That's the new, it will be in about 2 years.
Yeah, so I was right.
Boom!
Okay.
Bye-ya!
Soccer!
Just soccered you.
Just soccered you. All right.
Sorry, so, I'm still typing to him right now.
So. Philadelphia Union and DC United play-by-play broadcaster, or is he color analyst? He will be on next segment to talk some World Cup. Maybe we'll throw that New York Football Club question at him.
Please don't.
All right, let's do this real quick. Let's get through the segment. Toronto's in first place in the American League East.
Yep.
Baltimore 5.5 games back. The Yankees 6 full games back. Boston 10 games back. And the Tampa Bay Rays, who everybody thought was going to win.
Hey, what happened to them?
Yeah, they're 14 games back. They can't hit and they can't pitch. How about that? Detroit looks like they're going to end up winning the Central again, and that doesn't surprise me.
Cleveland, the Indians have Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, whatever. Listen, we could talk about that for a segment. They wasted a draft choice on Johnny Manziel instead of a kid who deserved it.
Padres did it.
The Padres can kiss my behind because I'm trying to think who their GM is now.
It's funny.
It's nobody worth a damn, I can tell you that. The White Sox are in third place. They're 4.5 games back. Everybody's pretty tight. I mean, Cleveland and Minnesota, The second and last place team in the Central are only separated by one game. And then you got, of course, the Oakland team that I said was going to win it. They are 4.5 games ahead of the Angels. The Angels are playing much better. I'm going to have to get my Hispanic friend on the air next week to talk about them. Houston had a great run the last 20 games. Yeah. They're 27 and 36, which is halfway respectable.
Yeah, they're almost good.
Texas, who I told you was going to suck, they do. They're 31 and 31. They're at 500. Mm-hmm. Then you go to the National League. Only one game separates the top three teams, Atlanta, Washington, Miami. In Atlanta in first place, but they just don't hit good enough. Washington, still probably the pick. Miami doing a great job. The Mets, five games back. They're six games under 500. They have problems. In Philly, we already told you they weren't going anywhere. Milwaukee, my buddy John Nairn, and the hitting coach, five games above St. Louis.
Apparently really good friends with the New York Yankees hitting coach.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, we talked.
You
know what we're saying.
That's for our loyal listeners.
32 and 31, St. Louis. I picked them to win it because I didn't want to pick San Francisco and jinx them. 29 and 32 is Pittsburgh, who got to get better than that. Cincinnati is having problems. 28, 32. It seems like everybody goes there and hits in their stadium. Cubs, they suck. San Francisco, 20 games out in front. The Dodgers, Yasiel Puig got hurt again yesterday. So did the left fielder, Carl Crawford. Yeah. They're 32 and 31. Kershaw's looking human. 29 and 32, Colorado. 28 and 34, Johnny Manziel, San Diego.
Johnny Baseball.
I guess they're going to make some T-shirts with his name on them. I don't know. And Arizona is 10 games under 500. Let's really quickly, I'm not going to do that yet. We got plenty of time.
No.
Yeah, we do.
No.
We don't. Do you want me to do that now? For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, to which I'm a member, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back. And for all you lucky soccer fans out there, we're going to get into some more soccer this segment as we have Tony Lamarzi. He is the MLS announcer for the Philadelphia Union and the DC United. He also literally wrote the book on Italy soccer.
He's good looking, too. I'm looking at a picture of him. Tony,
Bruce has a crush on him.
Yeah, I already got a man. I got a man crush on you. Tony, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How's everybody doing over there?
We're doing okay. I'm a former soccer player, but I was one of those guys that played in the 60s when we practiced with rubber balls.
Everybody drink.
And didn't have enough money to buy all the really good balls. But I had a great time playing soccer. What a great way to get in shape. And it's really a great game anywhere because all you need is a ball and a uniform, right?
Yeah, you don't even need the uniform. You can go shirts and skis or whatever. All you need is a ball. And I tell all the kids I work with, there's no greater invention to share than a ball. So
now, where did you play soccer when you were growing up?
I'm from the D.C. area, so I grew up in Montgomery County. I played MSI soccer, and then I played in grade school for the Wheaton Boys Club back then.
Yep.
And then I went to Gonzaga High School in the city, and I was a player at the Gonzaga all the way through my senior year.
Now, did you guys play fall soccer or spring soccer?
The Catholic League in D.C. played in the fall.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that kept you from playing those other fall sports. I played in the fall, too. I went to Wakefield High School in Arlington County. Just wanted to let you know. So anyway, I'm just old, buddy. I'm old enough to be your dad. So anyway, here's the big question. There's a lot of talk about the roster for the U.S. Tell us how you feel about it and if you think this is a good idea, putting some of these guys on there when they're younger and getting them experience.
I think it's a bad idea, especially that Landon Donovan was left off. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I will say is, you know, when you're the coach of a national team, you have to make your own decisions. So obviously Jurgen Klinsmann knows more about it than anybody who's making these criticisms. I think the problem I had most was not just that he didn't have him on the team, but that the coach was sort of not real honest with the players and not real honest with the fans. I mean, there's no way that Landon Donovan is not good enough to be on this team. And there's no way that he's just barely like the 24th or 25th player. If the coach doesn't want him, then that's the coach's decision, and everyone, I think, can live with that. The American soccer fans are getting pretty sophisticated about the way things go in the world. So every team has a superstar that they don't take on their team. It's just sort of the way it goes. Coaches have to make their decisions. But I don't really like the way he handled it. I think that wasn't very nice to Landon Donovan, who's, of course, I think by a mile, the greatest American player that has ever been.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my son has his jersey somewhere, too. You know, the thing that I don't understand about all of that is I mean, I know it was media generated for the most part, and you know, and any media is good media, but let me ask you a question right here. We start playing this coming week, right?
Yeah, it's like, that's right.
Do we have a shot at winning this pool, or are we just not going to beat Germany?
Well, you have the four teams in the group, the top two go through, so I think you're right when you say we're not going to beat Germany.
But we're not going to be Portugal. So are we going to take Portugal?
Germany's
I guess that's the question.
First. Portugal is a big question mark because Cristiano Ronaldo is dealing with these leg injuries. Mm-hmm. So if he doesn't play, that is a huge crippling blow to that team, and it really makes everybody sort of on a much more level playing field, I would say, apart from Germany in that group. So the key is you're going to have to win one game. If you get 4 points, 3 points for a win and one for a tie, if you get one win and one tie, you've got about a 50-50 shot of going through. You look at all the teams over the course of the tournament that have gotten 4 points, and you're about 50-50. I think the U.S. would take those odds, you know, being in a very tough group with a lot of really good experienced teams. So if you get a win and a tie in the first two games before they play Germany, I think they have a decent shot of squeezing out of the group.
And do you think that on Thursday do you think they have that shot to knock off Ghana?
It's Monday.
Monday? I mean, sorry, Monday.
Yeah.
Thursday is when the thing starts.
Okay.
The tournament starts on Thursday. U.S. is Monday. I don't think the U.S. defense is very good. And the Ghana players, historically, they've got a lot of good, fast players that can score. So I think that's going to be a real problem. I think the U.S. is going to score some goals in this tournament. But it's a matter of, are they going to be able to outscore their opponents? And that's sort of what they're going to have to do. This is not the kind of team that's going to score a goal and then be able to just keep other teams shut out the whole time. That's not really the way they work. So you're looking at probably some 1-1 games or like a 2-1 or maybe even a 3-2 game. That's really the U.S.'s best chance. So don't worry too much about how the defense is. They're going to have to score some goals. And I always say if you're going to lose, it's better to lose, you know, 3-2 than to lose 1-0 and not have anything exciting to cheer about. So I think it's going to be fun.
You know, Tim Howard is a pretty good goaltender. And a lot of times, just like in hockey, you get a hot goaltender. I mean, he can make all the difference in the world. How good do you think this guy is, and is he going to be able to carry this team?
He is good. He is as good as, I mean, there's like, I would say probably like maybe 4 or 5 goalies that are the best in the world, and he is right up there with those players. And you're right. If somehow he can get hot, it's going to make a big difference. It's not quite as much as the goalies. I mean, we've seen goalies in hockey, you know, do amazing things, and it doesn't matter. It's like there's a force field on the goal. But there are going to be key moments when the defense breaks down, and it's going to come down to Tim Howard. And as far as I can remember, he has been huge every single time. Anytime there's a chance for him to make a play to help his team, he's done it. And if there's goals that go in, I mean, it's not because Tim Howard is doing anything wrong. So he's great. He is as good as anybody in the tournament, and that is a great luxury to have. Well, you know, if your defense is a little wobbly, you have somebody back there to be a huge eraser, and it's a great thing.
So there's been a big stink about the U.S. national team's coach coming out and saying that they're not going to win the World Cup. Now, maybe that's just being realistic, but Americans don't really like to hear that they're not going to win something. So do you think it's a big deal that he came out and said that, or is it just some sort of motivational tactic?
I think they're definitely not going to win the World Cup. And I don't have a problem with coaches being honest. It seems weird. I mean, everything I said about the whole Landon thing, a lot of that was not real straightforward. And this is, I mean, it's okay. I was talking about this with some of my colleagues yesterday at the Philadelphia game. It's like, you don't really know what the players are feeling like when they go in. Nobody goes in. I think even teams like maybe Brazil or Spain, but you don't really go into the World Cup thinking about winning the World Cup, you think about, you know, doing your best and taking the first thing. It sounds like a cliche, you have to do one game at a time, but that's really the only possible way to approach this tournament. So they're thinking about Ghana, and you say, is there any chance they could beat Ghana? And I think yes. The players know that if they play well, if they have a good game, and if some things go their way, they can beat Ghana. And if they do that, then they have a good chance of getting out of the group. Now, if they get out of the group and make it to the round of 16, they're not going to be thinking about the final. So I thought it was a little out of character from Jurgen Klinsmann, but maybe he wants to sort of help brace the fans. Like, look, we're going to do our best, but we're not going to win the tournament. I don't really know what value there is in saying that, so I don't know why he would come out with it, but I don't think it's such a big deal that he did say it. I would just wonder, like, why bring it up?
Hey, this is
everyone knows he's right. Why bring it up?
No, I hear you. Hey, listen, this is a personal question because he happens to be family to me, but what's the deal with Breck Shea? Is he getting too old to be in this? How old is he, 29, 30? I'm not even sure.
No, he's not that old. He was on the Olympic team.
Right.
So before the Olympics in London, which was, I guess, 2 summers ago, is that right?
Right. Uh-huh.
2012?
Yep.
He was on the team. He was one of the best players on that team, and those teams are all under 23.
He's 23.
So he has still got to be, you know, under the 26 range, I think.
Yeah, he's 24.
Is he just not good enough, Tony?
You know, that team that failed to make the Olympic team, that was a huge problem for the development of U.S. soccer. That team had Freddie Adu on it, and it had Breck Shea on it, and it had Bill Hamid and Sean Johnson. Those are two good MLS goalies. And they lost to, I think it was El Salvador, to get knocked out of the Olympic qualifying. And that's a huge step backwards. I've always liked Freddie Adu's game, and he does things that no other American player I've ever done. And Breck Shea, I think, is great. And I think part of the problem for me is the young guys that are so excited and so enthusiastic to go overseas. It's good for them. It's a big contract. But I think in MLS, you can develop a little more as a player, especially as an American player. So when Breck Shea was playing with Dallas, he was great, and everyone knew how good he was, and that's why he got the contract in Europe. But I don't know if he, like, rushed into it or not, but when he went over there, it's not the same. The comfort level is different. The style of play is different, and you can't be as successful. If he stayed in Dallas, he would have been one of their best players, maybe their best player for a couple of years.
Right.
And I think that does a lot for players' confidence. I think that's the best way for young American players to grow up. There's very few examples like Clint Dempsey, where you start in MLS, you take the first contract in Europe, and then you're a great, you know, top-of-the-line player in Europe. There are very few players like that. I think Breck Shea is great. I think he's young enough where we're going to see him in the mix again soon. But it's just been, you know, when you're 23 or 24, if you waste one contract, right, 1 3-year cycle, that's a big chunk of your development that you sort of get sent back. So I'm pulling for Breck Shea. I think he's great. I love having young players in MLS make it to the World Cup and be big contributors to the national team. But I think because of a variety of circumstances, he sort of delayed his process a little bit.
Hey, Tony, it's Matt. There's been word of Breck Shea coming back to MLS. Has there been any development in that anytime soon?
No, I haven't heard about that. Usually, you know, during the World Cup, everything sort of dies down in terms of the player signings. And then the start of the season in Europe starts up again in August. So at that point, there's a transfer window in MLS. So if it happens, it'll probably be like within the next 2 months. But I think it would be great for him to come back and play, you know, every minute of every game for whatever team he's in and get his rhythm back and start playing. And, you know, as soon as the World Cup is over, everybody starts thinking about the next tournaments coming up for the national team. And if you have a player who is committed to staying with the team and staying in the league and improving every week, I think that's something that could really help Breck, and I would love to see him back on the national team.
All right. Well, I also know that you are a big Italy supporter, and Group D is also a group that is not being really talked about as one of the harder groups, but you have Uruguay, Costa Rica, which is okay, England and Italy, all in the same group.
Wow.
What do you think is going to be the outcome of that group?
That's a tough one. It's really tough, this group. I mean, you know, the Portugal group is really tough, Portugal and USA and Germany, and this Italy group is really tough, too. I think you sort of have to say that Costa Rica is a very, very long shot in that group. And
yeah.
I think we might be looking at some tiebreakers here because, you know, it's so hard to win these games. You know, England and Italy, that game has tie written all over it. And then Uruguay, who knows what they're going to be like because, you know, Luis Suarez is dealing with that injury and They're not sure how much he's going to play. So a lot of the people are saying it's going to be Uruguay and Italy that go through. But I think England, they did a great job in their qualifiers. They were down to the wire. They needed to win their last two games at home, and they won two games in a row. That's not easy in Europe. They beat Poland. They beat Montenegro. So this is a team that, you know, when their back is against the wall, has been very, very good. I think it might be England and Italy that go through from there, and it would be a big blow to Uruguay to be playing in South America and not be able to make it out of the group.
Don't you think England has a little bit of bitter taste in their mouth from last World Cup losing to the United States, though, that they're just going to play at least a little bit harder than any other team?
America.
You know, I think for the first time that I can remember, there aren't a lot of people talking about England. It always seems like they enter the tournaments with these high expectations, and they thought last time they were going to be an easy group, and you know, they just sort of got saved at the very end by Donovan's goal. So I think that it helps them this time that they're sort of under the radar, so they can just worry about what they want to do as players, and they don't have to worry about the press killing them, because it seems like no one is really expecting them to go through. And I think a lot of times when players can just play and not worry about all the extra stuff from the media and the English media, they're pretty hard on everybody. So I think it's going to be good for those players to just be able to play and not have the whole country sort of assuming that they're going to get into the quarterfinals or something like that.
All right, you know what? Let me ask you a question, Tony, because we're getting down to about the two-minute mark here with this segment, but I want to ask you something. I'm a handicapper. Never handicapped soccer. If you had to handicap this, let's say that was your job, and you had to come out with odds on and who the favorites were, who would be your top three teams in this tournament, 1, 2, 3?
1, Brazil, 2, Argentina, and 3, Spain.
Wow. That's awesome.
So no Portugal or Germany?
No, Portugal's going to have some problems. I think if Cristiano Ronaldo's not healthy, that whole thing could fall apart very quickly. Like Germany's very good. I think when you're playing in South America, that helps the South American teams a lot. So the Argentinians are going to be pretty comfortable. If you think back to 2006 when it was in Germany, all four of the semifinalists were from Europe. So I don't exactly know how to explain it, but in pretty much every World Cup, the teams that are sort of local to that region, it's a big advantage for them. So that's why I would pick Argentina ahead of Spain, and Brazil is just, I mean, Brazil is Brazil. So
now,
they,
will you be going down really there? Focused. Will you be working the event?
No, I stay behind here, and I'm going to probably be working some of the U.S. Open Cup matches that are coming up in the next few weeks. So MLS is taking a break from league play, but there's still some Open Cup games coming up. So I'm going to be involved in those and that fun tournament here.
Tony, I got to thank you for being on. It was great of you to come on, and now I know how to handicap it. I'll look like I know what I was talking about. And thanks for the info about Breck, because I worry about Breck. I've known him since he was in diapers.
Also, he's a good guy. Everybody's pulling for him, I think. Good
also, kid. Tony, do you want to tell everybody about your book real quick?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, go on Amazon. Tony Limarzi, it's Limarzi. The name of the book is Forza Italia, and you can relive all of the great times from the Germany World Cup in 2006.
All right. Vamos United, Tony.
There you go. We'll see
Thanks,
you, Tony.
Everybody.
Bye-bye. Right,
welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Going to get into some baseball action here. We should be joined by a guest shortly, but until then, we're going to break down some of these games in the MLB today. So Bruce has been gloating about his picks, saying that it's the best year he's ever had.
It's the best start I've ever had. And I got to tell you, there's not a lot of surprises. Not a lot of surprises early in the season as far as I'm concerned. As usual, I leave the San Francisco Giants out of any plays I have because I just don't, you know, I don't want to jinx them. That's me knocking on the table, knocking on wood. Let's go over these picks real quick because we do get feedback from this. Anybody, Facebook is real good. You can go to Bruce Hall Sports on Facebook or just go to me personally, Bruce Hall. I'll friend you. I'll be your friend.
I won't friend you.
I don't even try. Anyway, Scott Kazmir, who came out of nowhere now, and of course he's on Oakland's team, and he's kicking butt and taking names. 213, seven innings, hasn't given up an earned run here against Baltimore. They're in Baltimore. I'm going to pass on the game only because the Orioles need a win badly. I'm going to leave that game alone. You want to play that since you're here?
No.
Roy? Okay, you're smart. You're getting smarter and smarter. Seattle, you got King Felix against Archer. I'm going to pass on that game because Archer is throwing a little bit better lately. About a run between them. Hernandez is better. Seattle's actually hitting the ball better, but I'm going to pass on the game. I don't like the game. It's too close to call.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. You'd have to think that one of these days Tampa Bay is going to wake up.
You would think they're going to. Well, I don't see it happening this year. Hiroki Kuroda, New York Yankees in Kansas City. Kansas City fired a hitting coach. Their fifth coach in a year they fired. I'm available, guys. I'm available, and I'm better than anybody you've had in a while. They actually brought a guy in that does a good job. He's been around forever. He was the hitting coach, Dale Swaim. He was the hitting coach in Milwaukee before my buddy was there. Johnny Nairn, a couple of years back. Shields for Kansas City. They won yesterday. The Yankees need a win bad. I'm going to go with Shields. I'm taking Kansas City over the Yankees in this game. I just got to. I just think that Shields is pitching too well. You got McHugh against Aduno. Pass. Both teams suck. Both pitchers aren't very good. Although the best pitcher right now is this rookie McHugh. It's an even pick. I'm passing. Cleveland is at Texas. I already said Texas sucks, right? How many times have I said that? A million. You're getting Masterson -111. Take him. Take Cleveland over Texas. Huh. Texas is done. They're going to lose a manager before the end of the year, and it's not his fault. They should fire John Daniels, but you know a lot of people would disagree with me. I don't. I don't like the guy. Give me a job in Arlington, Texas, please. I'll take it anytime. Pass on the game. No, I'm sorry. I took Cleveland.
Take Cleveland.
The White Sox, Quintana against Wilson. Wilson has come back and done a great job for the Angels. Trout looks like he's out of his little mini slump he was in. Mm-hmm. I would say take Wilson here.
I'd agree.
And take the Angels at home. It's going to be warm out there today, too. In Chicago, it could be freezing. Boston is at Detroit. Anibal Sanchez, my favorite guy, going against Lackey. That's not even a good, in my opinion, that's not going to be that good of a game. Take Detroit and Sanchez to win that game outright, and they're -148. Take them. In the National League, you got Buchanan against good old Homer Bailey, my son's nemesis. He's killing my son. But Homer Bailey in 15 innings against the Phillies. Oh, that's right. It's the Phillies. Hasn't given up an earned run yet. Take Bailey. Cincinnati's got to win this game. They're playing the Phillies at home, even though the Giants went in there and kicked their butt 3 out of 4. You got Gallardo from Milwaukee, a great hitting pitcher against Charlie Morton with Pittsburgh. Morton has pitched very well against Milwaukee. Gallardo has pitched pretty well against Pittsburgh.
I see Locke for Pittsburgh.
Well, you can do it. They're 10 games under 500. They're not a lock with anybody.
No. The guy pitching.
Morton.
No, Locke.
Where? Oh, Jeff Locke. Well, you know what? Whether it's Morton or Locke, I thought you meant you had a Locke,
no.
Dude. Like a
who's on first?
I
thought you meant an LOCK, one of those good betting.
Yeah. No, on MLB.com it shows Locke with a 0-0 record of 10.13 ERA.
I'm passing. Period. Miami is at the Cubs. Alvarez for Miami. He's off to a good start. 2.62 ERA against good old Jake Arrieta from the Baltimore Orioles, who got traded to the Chicago Cubs. Arrieta has pitched very well his first two times back. I'm going to pass on it anyway, even though they're in there. I kind of almost like the other side better, but I'm going to pass. So I'm not going to take Alvarez on the road. They're better at home, Miami.
Yeah, I agree.
Wheeler in New York Mets has pitched a little bit better lately. His last three starts, 1.37 ERA. He's going against Timmy Lincecum, who on the road doesn't do all that well. I'm going to pass on the game because my Giants are in this game.
I'm going to take the Mets simply because.
Good. That'll be a lock for San Francisco.
Just because.
Thank you very much for doing
that.
Give me a fist bump. Thank you very much for that. Hey, listen, Zimmerman. you got Jordan Zimmerman, who he hasn't been pitching as well as he normally does, but he looked really good last outing. Going against Johnny Manziel's San Diego Padres. Take Washington just because the entire San Diego organization are a bunch of clowns.
Manziel might come in relief today.
Yeah, that's well, I heard he's starting. Atlanta, you got Aaron Harang, who was the story in April, who gave up like 50 runs in his next three games. He's back. He's going up against Anderson from Arizona. In Arizona, take the Diamondbacks. They're starting to hit a little bit, and God knows they need to. They're terrible. The next game is Clayton Kershaw against De La Rosa, but this is in Colorado. You know what? I'm going to take he's plus 140. I'm taking De La Rosa against Kershaw.
I would do that too, simply because the Dodgers are just so banged up.
Well, yeah, they're banged up, and you know, I'm telling you, Kershaw's got some problems.
You probably get a lot of bang for your buck there. What's the line?
145 plus one. It's plus one. Probably be plus 125. Colorado, take De La Rosa. And here's the interleague game, the only one. You got Hutchinson for Toronto. I'm sorry, the first-place Toronto Blue Jays against St. Louis, who's only one game over 500. I'm passing on the game. It's too close to call. I'm going to leave it alone. I got to. My name is Bruce, and I'm on the loose. All right.
Man, hey, you're on it today.
Well, I don't even have any Red Bull over here. It's these damn glazed donuts I've been
eating. Fab Five Freddie Bruce.
My wife would kill me if she saw how many of these things we've eaten. Major League Baseball. I mean, you had the draft. Let me tell you, the Major League Baseball draft, do me a favor, pull up the draft. We're going to talk about the top 10 picks. They were great picks. My kids that are playing ball for me this summer have they've got on their phones, they can see every video of every guy in the draft throwing or hitting or running or fielding a ground ball or pitching, and it's unbelievable to do that. The Major League, if you go to MLB.com/draft, they'll have everything in there.
All right, you want the top 10?
Yeah, go ahead. Obviously, it was Brady Aiken.
Aiken to the Houston Astros. He looks, lefty out of high school, Central Catholic.
He has been called the best overall pitcher that they've seen in the draft for a left-hander in, like, ever.
Top three
players. He looks like Barry Zito, by the way. He's real good-looking, and so is his girlfriend, because I saw a picture of him on the couch.
Probably 16. He's 18.
He's probably 20.
I'm saying his girlfriend. The top three players.
If she's 16, I didn't say anything.
Exactly. That's what I was getting at. The top three players taken were all pitchers. The top two were both high school kids. Tyler Colick was taken by the Miami Marlins. He's a right-handed pitcher out of Shepherd High School in Texas.
Let me tell you about Colick. If you go to that video, you know how big he is? He looks like an offensive lineman in the NFL. The first videos we saw of him, he didn't throw a strike for like 5 minutes, but he throws 100 or better. So I was talking to these kids who, are very familiar with the draft, because all the kids that play for me are very familiar with the draft because they all want to get drafted. And he says to me, this one kid says, well, you know what? He throws 102, 103. If they didn't draft him, somebody would lose their job. You know what I say? If you look like that and you pitch for me, I might let you throw an inning here and there, but it looks like he's going to walk a lot of guys because he doesn't have a lot of command, but evidently he's a lot better than some of them. He should have probably not even put any video out.
Throws 103.
Yeah. I mean, he's a big boy. And evidently he's athletic. He looked like he had slow twitch to me. All right, who's the number three draft?
He's only 18.
Who's the night? Matt's giving himself steroids over here. Man, I didn't know you sold steroids. Go ahead.
Carlos Rodon, I guess that's how you say that name.
He is the best pitcher in the draft.
Chicago White Sox out of NC State.
Yeah, NC State. Lefty. Rodon is going to make it to the majors before anybody else, any pitcher that got drafted. He'll be in AA by the end of the year, in my opinion. And he'll probably be on a major league team next year. He is that good. He's like 92 to 95 now. He didn't have as good a year as he had had last year, but they decided, this year he went, he elected to come back for this year, and he did real well.
NC State doesn't make regionals. What do you think about?
They're not that good.
No,
they're not that good. And he's like, I don't think NC State has more than two or three players that got drafted. They weren't that good this year. Virginia, if you were watching the draft 2 days ago, Virginia has like eight guys that have been drafted already. Their starting lineup and the pitcher yesterday, almost all of them have been drafted. I'd say six of them. So, I mean, it's a big difference. Who's number four?
Kyle Schwarber. He goes to the Chicago Cubs. He is a catcher, the first position player taken out of Indiana.
He is a stud. He's probably not the best catcher in the draft, in my opinion. That was a kid from Kennesaw State who got drafted later. But this kid, the way the Cubs work is like this. They suck, so they don't have a lot of money. They don't want to lose money, so here's what they do. They lowball their first-round draft choice. They'll draft you in the first round, but they tell you ahead of time, we're drafting you, but we're paying you a two or three slot. And that's what they do, and the guys agree with it. You know who else does that? The Minnesota Twins. They do that because they don't have any money either. They don't have any money, and you know, and it's freezing up there. You know, all you do is ice fish in the winter, so it's hard to get people to come there. Who's the number? Who's the next pick?
The Kennesaw State catcher you're talking about, his name is Matt Pentecost.
He was taken
by the Toronto Blue Jays, pick number 11. Since we're going over the top 10, I thought that'd throw back.
No, I'm glad you did, because look at the 9 pick. That's Jeff Hoffman from East Carolina University, who just had Tommy John surgery 3 weeks ago.
Also Blue Jays.
Hoffman got picked. You want to talk about how good Tommy John surgery is now? Jeff Hoffman was the 9 pick. The 8 pick also had Tommy John surgery.
He is Kyle Freeland, Rockies lefty from Evansville.
Who just had Tommy John surgery. Unbelievable. We'll be, for the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS. And we'll finish up baseball.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Closing things out here today. We've been over a lot. We went over horse racing. We did our MLB picks. We even talked about college baseball and World Cup soccer. So we covered a lot today. So you're welcome out there. You're welcome. So as we head down home, I guess we're going to finish up these top 10 draft picks.
Well, let's do that, and let's just go as far as we can, because let me tell you, these are names that you're going to be hearing pretty good. The thing that I like the most about the draft is when the tracker – I'm going to go to the tracker, because the tracker just lists them all. Just click on tracker, and you look at the guys. Kyle Freeland, we talked about. Jeff Hoffman, Michael Conforto. They say is the best hitter in the draft. He's an outfielder from the Oregon State.
And he goes to the Mets, number 10.
The Mets got a great draft choice in Michael Conforto. That was a good move. The scouting group did a great job there. Pentecost, of course, is a kid from Kennesaw State going to the Toronto Blue Jays. I hope the exchange rate's still good.
He went at number 11.
You know what? Trey Turner, for all we know, he isn't any good because the San Diego Padres drafted him. Manziel might be better
than him. Shortstop at NC State.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but they drafted Manziel. He's a shortstop too. Tyler Beede, the Giants got. Let me tell you, Tyler Beede is a very, very good right-handed pitcher from Vanderbilt. The Giants historically always take a lot of pitchers. That's why they win a lot of games.
Tyler Beede went 3 shutout innings, his first outing in the Super Regionals against Stanford. He struck out the first 3, and he threw no-hit ball through 3 innings. Very impressive.
He's a stud. Sean Newcomb, University of Hartford. You got this kid's name's Tukey, I swear to God. I used to call Poo-Poo Tukey when I was a little kid. Tukey Toussaint, Coral Springs Christian, Brandon Finnegan, TCU, UNLV. Nick Howard was the first University of Virginia guy drafted, a right-handed pitcher. Kind of a two-way player. He's a Sunday starter as a sophomore, and he's a two-way player. Hit almost 300. They have him listed as a pitcher, but he can crush the ball. He may end up being a position player, probably an outfielder. Casey Gillespie. He's the third Gillespie to make the draft in the last, 8 years. Connor played for the San Francisco Giants. Now he's with the Chicago White Sox. Bradley Zimmer, stud. Zimmer family, University of San Francisco. Grant Holmes, Derek. You got Cody Tucker. I don't really like to talk about the high school guys too much because, in my opinion, you're taking a chance with them. You can get them cheaper. You can get them sometimes quicker in the lower rounds. I think too many college kids get ignored. I really hate it. Luke Weaver, first Florida State guy, right-handed pitcher. He's pretty damn good. He's a junior, so he had some leverage there. Alex Blandino from Stanford. He's a stud shortstop, one of the best shortstops in the country. Justice Sheffield, not related to Gary as far as I know. He's from Tullahoma High School in Tennessee, left-handed pitcher. He's supposed to be real good. I'm going to keep going here.
You think Jameis Winston gets picked?
Or who's it?
Winston?
No, he didn't get picked because he's a sophomore. He's a redshirt. I mean, he's a In baseball, he's a natural sophomore. In football, he was a redshirt sophomore. Okay. He was redshirt.
Because he was drafted last year, right?
He was drafted out of high school.
2012, he was drafted.
Yeah, he was drafted out of high school. AJ, I don't want to talk about him because he's, you know, I don't like him. AJ Reed from Kentucky. Jake Stinnett, who's University of Maryland Terrapins, mm-hmm. go up against the University of Virginia today. Jake won the first game yesterday. Second round draft choice, 45th pick in the country. Congratulations, Jake. You keep going. I'm going all the way down here. A lot of high school kids. And then we get into University of Miami. You got this left-handed pitcher, Andrew Suarez. He's a stud. He throws like 92, 95. He's just a solid junior pitcher out of the University of Miami. Miami, by the way, is loaded. And they're going to have some guys. University of Alabama right-handed pitcher, Spencer Turnbull. He was the 63rd player picked in the draft, second round. I keep going, and let's go to the third round here. This is what we're going to finish with, Roy. I'm pumped. We go to Arkansas, Brian Anderson. He's a second baseman. First second baseman I remember seeing drafted. Pretty good kid. Played all the positions in the infield. He's going to be the Miami Marlins got him. And then I'm going down. Battlefield High School's Nick Wells from Haymarket, Virginia, third-round pick. Lefty throws 92-93. He's got a hook from hell, and he's just going to get better. He went quick. That's pretty good for a high school player that I saw his team lose last week. You got a Rice kid, an Ole Miss kid. Let me look for somebody I know. Hell, here's the first South Carolina guy, and they got about eight or nine guys that got drafted. Grayson Griner, he's a catcher. He's probably the third best catcher in the draft. He's 6'5", 225 pounds. If he can catch, and I've heard he can, he's going to be a stud. You know, catchers generally get picked in the draft. They don't last forever, but you know what? You always need catchers to catch bullpens. Absolutely. So, you know, these guys aren't stupid. They go after as many guys as they can get that they need. I'm looking. Here's another NC State guy. This is the second one. He's their catcher that caught Rodon for the last 3 years. Brett Austin, he got drafted in the fourth round. Old Dominion, Ryan Yarborough, Norfolk, Virginia, left-handed pitcher. Yeah, he got drafted in the fourth round. Here's a guy from Calvert Hall in Baltimore, Maryland. It's a high school. Excuse me. Troy Stokes, center fielder. He must be an athlete. 5'8", 182 pounds. When you're 5'8", 182, and you go in the fourth round, guess what they call you? They call you a baseball player because he wouldn't have gotten picked if he wasn't a good player because he's not a big kid. Giants got a high school kid, a right-handed pitcher, Logan Webb, in the fourth round. And here I go looking for – oh, you know what? Shout out to North Carolina, Fuquay Varina High School. Dewan Burt, 5'9", 160, is a shortstop. I'll bet you he's a player. Some college coach is going to be really upset that this kid doesn't if he signs, because I guarantee you he was going somewhere like UNC or NC State or East Carolina. Keep it going. Here's a Vanderbilt kid, Adam Ravenel, 130th pick, right-handed pitcher. By the way, Vanderbilt had about six or seven guys drafted. I'm going to tell you, the draft is full, absolutely full of guys from Florida. And there's a lot of guys from California, too. And then there's the rest of us. Virginia had a really good showing, Roy. Virginia did real good. I keep looking for New York. I haven't seen anything. Here's a Seton Hall kid, New Jersey, Josh Prevost. He is a right-handed pitcher from Seton Hall. That's, you know, South Orange, right across from New York City. Ole Miss kid, don't want to talk. Here's a Duke kid, Drew Van Orden. Duke's program has improved dramatically since the former coach at Appalachian State went there. I'm a big fan of what he's doing down there. They won a lot of games. They made it to the tournament, to the regionals. They got beat. Here's another Miami left-hander, Chris Diaz. He got drafted. Here's a kid from Florida Gulf Coast. I mean, it's just unbelievable how many of these kids are from Florida. I'm looking for the underdogs here. I'm in the sixth round already. Let's see, Texas Tech, Milton High School. Don't want to talk about you, buddy. Here's a University of Texas kid, John Curtis, right-handed pitcher. Augie, this kid's a junior. He's probably the oldest guy on their team. because Hoggy doesn't have anybody but freshmen and sophomores right now. Here's a Florida State. Oh, Charlie Liebrandt used to pitch for the Kansas City Royals and I think Toronto. Charlie, his son Brandon, who's bigger than Charlie. This kid's 6'4". Charlie's about 6'1". 6'4", 205. He's been injured, but he is, the Phillies picked him up. And let's see. See, here's another Seton Hall kid. God, this is great. Jose Lopez, right-handed pitcher, a junior for Cincinnati Reds, drafted him in the sixth round here. This is great. I'm good at this. We should just keep doing it. I sound better than the guys that are all over. I'm giving you more information to more people. That's right. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, and I'm Bruce Hall. My voice is going on me because I had a game last night. St. Louis U, I don't want to say who that guy is, Kansas State. UNC Charlotte, this is for Coach Hall down there, no relation. Right-handed pitcher, what a surprise. He's coached more pitchers and sent them to the pros, and a lot of people I know, oh, God, he sent them to San Diego. That sucks.
He'll be up there with Johnny Manziel, though.
Yeah, Louisiana Lafayette, who's still playing in it. Yep. The Giants got Seth Harrison.
Yeah, Louisiana Lafayette, they're up 1-0.
Well, guess what? I bet Seth Harrison scored their run. He's center fielder, center fielder for them, and he has been drafted by my buddy Bruce Bochy in the San Francisco Giants.
Number one team in the country, Louisiana Lafayette.
Miami, look at this. Here's Brandon Downs, Virginia. Virginia, like I said, had about 8 or 9 guys. It was unbelievable how many they had drafted. South Carolina, Joey Pancake. What a great name. Spells it with two K's, P-A-N-K-A-K-E. Yeah, somebody was just playing with him.
I like that.
I got a feeling that he was found on somebody's
That's
door.
Like Johnny Football, but Joey Pancake.
And he's a third baseman, should have been a wrestler if he's got a pancake. 6'1", 200 pounds. You know what's amazing? These kids were all born, they're all so young, it's unbelievable.
I got dogs older than
these guys. Oh, God, Luke Dykstra. Hope he's not related to Lenny. Lenny's probably still in prison, I hope not. Second baseman, I bet it is Lenny. But this kid's 6'1", can't be Lenny. Lenny's a lot smaller than that. Ricky Reed, Brian O'Keefe. You know what round I'm on now? The eighth. I'm going to get through 10 rounds.
Well, do you want to go over the games today?
We have to do that. How much time we got, Matt?
We got about
five minutes. Go ahead. Throw them at me.
All right, so we have Louisiana Lafayette. They take on Ole Miss. Louisiana Lafayette is they're up 1-0 in that. That's a 9 o'clock game today. Do you think the Ragin' Cajuns close out Ole Miss?
Yeah, they won yesterday. They're going to win today. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, they got 3 really good pitchers, Louisiana Lafayette. Yeah. And they have a really good girls softball team, too. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Number one team in the country. TCU takes on Pepperdine. That is in Texas. So TCU is the host team there. I believe TCU is up 1-0 in that series over Pepperdine. They play 6 o'clock today.
They are. I'm taking Pepperdine.
Really?
Because they have a good team.
So you think that goes to Monday?
Well, you know what? I think it will because Pepperdine, in my opinion, has a little bit better pitching staff than Tech does. Go ahead. Keep going.
Next game, TCU Vanderbilt Army. Is the host site down there in Nashville to take on Stanford. Vanderbilt blew out Stanford on Friday, and then Stanford came back and won yesterday to tie the series 1-1. Stanford's pitching has been all over the place, but their hitting is consistent. What do you think about this game? 3 o'clock, and this is a swing game.
I'm taking Vanderbilt because they're at home, and I'm also taking them because they probably have the better starting pitcher today. I like Vandy. I do.
That means Vanderbilt would be your next team to punch.
Yep.
To go to the
Omaha.
To Omaha.
I wish I could go. Go ahead.
Texas Tech takes on College of Charleston.
Take COC, baby. He's going to be moving to either Clemson or East Carolina, the head coach there, because both of them just fired their head coaches.
Huh.
Yeah, isn't that cool? But I still like him because generally speaking, that means everybody's loose, you know. Mm-hmm. And the kids aren't upset because the coach is leaving because they don't care. Even they can go with him if they want to. Keep going.
Texas Tech currently leads that series 1-0. So you have that.
Yeah,
series.
Yeah, COC. I like COC.
COC going and pushing it to Monday. That game's at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, my catcher this summer will be at COC next year.
Next up, and they are warming up right now.
Right.
That would be UVA hosting Maryland. That is a noon opening pitch.
I gotta take UVA because there's no way that they're gonna get beat. Yeah, they're not gonna get beat twice. I'm not saying Maryland won't win the series, but I think UVA in that stadium in Charlottesville, it's all UVA fans. I mean, there'll be about 300 or 400 Maryland fans,
maybe.
And let's go Terps.
Everybody I know, Matt's a Maryland guy. Go ahead. I'm taking Virginia.
Maryland won. They won the regular season ACC, although Virginia was the number one team in the country for the longest
Absolutely.
Time. Maryland also, they're hot recently, having played in the ACC tournament. They lost to Georgia Tech in that tournament.
I'm taking Virginia today.
Well, there it is. So you have, to recap, you have Virginia to push to Monday.
Right.
You have COC over Texas Tech to push to Monday.
Right.
You have Vanderbilt going to Omaha.
Absolutely.
You have Pepperdine pushing to Monday.
Today, yeah.
And then you have Louisiana Lafayette going to Omaha.
I love the Raging Cajuns.
Yeah.
They are good, man. They're real good. It's been a great show today, Roy.
Representing the Sun Belt Conference.
I love it when you're here. I love it when you're here. And we had some great guests. A special thanks to all of our guests. You know, what was our soccer guy's name? Come on, you know.
Tony Lamarzi.
Yep.
Yeah, and I had Marlon Eikenberry from VMI explain to me, you know, about the recruiting process and how that works and, you know, how important it is to have guys from your college drafted. We'll be back next week on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. See you and drive safe.